Okay, I guess we can call the meeting to order. Why don't we call the roll? I think everybody's here more or less.
Mr. Shifalako?
Here.
Mr. Radke?
Here.
Mr. Belinsky?
Here.
Mr. Natsky?
Here.
Ms. Kellner?
Here.
Mr. Jasinski?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Mrs. Nichols?
Here.
Alderman Bowman?
Here. Okay, first item is to approve the minutes from the last meeting. I assume everybody's gotten them. Any changes or corrections? If not, is there a motion?
Some moved.
There a second? All in favor, aye.
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 Okay, item two is our usual communication file. I guess Mr. Withers has some things to tell us about some of the initiatives he's been working on, so let's start off with him.
Thank you. Richard Withers, Legislative Reference Bureau. Just a couple of quick updates. Several matters are in progress, and I wanted to mention two of them in particular in the valet parking services area. I've received a couple of comments back and am discussing the proposed draft that we circulated last time with the city attorney's office. There may be a couple of minor tweaks, but the concept seems to be good. One of the important issues may be not referring it to the spaces that are designated for valet services as valet stands, to differentiate between a stand and an area where people are loading and unloading, and that may be one of the most significant changes. I'm afraid that I've been trading calls with Ms. Nichols. We are, I think, now in a position to go ahead and set up a meeting with the businesses that may be affected, not just the valet service operators, but with the businesses on Water, Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I'll be working with her to arrange that before our next meeting. It would be possible that this group may at that time at the next meeting wish to make a recommendation under the ordinance establishing the review board. The from time to time the board is it's anticipated that recommendations will be made to the Common Council, and then any of the members, including the chair, of course, can introduce the appropriate legislation at that time. And so I'd be happy to work on a proposal for the next meeting as far as language of a recommendation, if the board wishes. The other matter that we're working on, and again, trying to get the right people together is important, has to do with the discussions of bike share. Earlier this year, I was approached by the Department of Public Works and Mr. Polensky to explore the kinds of metrics that might be needed to determine the feasibility of and utility of bike share system. This spring has seen a great deal of interest across the country. New systems have been contracted for or rolled out in cities such as Los Angeles and Chicago, expanding their initial pilot efforts. There were a couple of online web seminars that occurred this spring, one just last week, that were sponsored by the National Center for Transit Research, and that's out of the University of South Florida, and I think they provided a real boost to looking at what might be possible here. The one last week was entitled Social Equity and Bike Sharing, and that had to do with the issues of who has access to bike share programming and making sure that it's not just the visitors persons interested in business travel or entertainment, but also just local citizens who may need it, need access. The other was integrating bike sharing with public transportation, and that was in March. And I have some background information that was provided on those, and also the sites where you can listen to the discussion if you're interested in following up on that. So I'll pass those out.
Okay.
In reviewing these, I also came across, and this is the one of the advantages of surfing some of these sites, an interesting program that was linked to the National Center for Transit Research. And some of you may know about these already, but it's an interactive, intermodal trip planning program. And I'll be happy to send out more information about that. But basically, it takes a series of different databases that can be used to plan trips on one particular modality and integrates them to other types of modalities, bus, bike, and other kinds of things. And it looked quite promising, so I'll send out information on that. And if there are any questions about those two areas, I'd be happy to address them. Yes?
I had one comment on that. There is, in addition to what Richard was doing, there's also two individuals that have been hired by another organization to kind of look at this from the private side and explore interests and opportunities to partner with other businesses to get something kind of off the ground. And it seems like there's a lot of interest out there. Certainly, they'd be looking for the city of Milwaukee to be a partner in that in some capacity. But it seems that where this best works best, it's operated under a private entity of some sort. And, you know, I've been in a number of different cities that have this and have used it, and it really is a nice system to have and to use.
Yeah, if I might also add, in my research so far, although initially there were questions about who should take the lead, whether it should be a lead taken by a local municipality or business, the ones that have been most successful and seem to make the most sense have been led by private sector, but with very active involvement on the part of municipalities and agencies such as Department of Public Works and those kinds of, and the local law enforcement as well.
Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
This is really for the city engineer. Jeff, have you given any thought to maybe CMAC funds, to seed monies to get this going, or?
Yeah, actually, I mean, certainly CMAC money would be logical, but there's also a number of transit funds. FTA funds are actually available for this sort of thing as well, and a number of communities are tapping into that. But and one of the benefits, I guess, that we have is we are becoming a grantee of FTA, so that'll kind of give us that ability to look at those options as well.
Because you may need that to get it going. Money.
Okay, anything else on that? I've passed.
I had a question about the valet issue. I don't have the big picture on what the city's proposing to be done regarding valet services. Can you just give me some of the key bullet points about what you think is likely to the city wants to propose?
Sure. At least the discussion draft that we circulated last time, and I've got extra copies in case people need that. Go ahead and pass those down. The concept would be similar to a taxi stand where an area is designated for particular activity. It would be a valet services activity, and we had talked about it in terms of a valet stand, but we may need to just simply call it valet services zone or something of that nature. The idea is to designate no parking from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. Or a similar time period on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights in probably three different areas or three streets, areas of Water Street, Wisconsin Avenue and Milwaukee. Those areas then that are now no parking and tow away areas could be used for loading and unloading passengers by valet services. a valet service for hire, whether it's contract employee or however that is paid for, rather than just a private person dropping people off and picking them up, would be required to register with the city. It's not a licensing scheme, but simply a registration so that they can be identified and the police know who to talk to when valet operations are in effect. That appears to address most of the issues that were raised. The valet areas, though, designating those may be the difficult part for some of the businesses there. And there was a question about whether those areas or any costs associated with designating those areas should be assessed in some manner to businesses on the street or particular parties. And that may still be up for discussion.
And with valet services, I've seen kids, well, the attendants would drive the car or park it wherever they could, block away, two blocks away, three blocks away, hustle back to the valet stand, do it all over again. I mean, is that, these cars have to go someplace.
Right, and the proposal was simply to address the issue right at the curb. However, there are a couple of other options under discussion about businesses designating where they're going to be parking, and those things have been worked out to some extent informally with police. The problem, of course, being that you were moving the problem if we have a lot of on-street parking by valets.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, very good. All right, I passed around some photographs of bus stops, signage, maps, real-time arrival boards from Portland, Oregon. Needless to say, they have a very first-class transit system for a city that's actually smaller than Milwaukee, with lower population density than Milwaukee, although just slightly less. Their population is about 580,000, with a density of about 5,400 per square mile. We're, of course, 592,000, with a density of 6,300 per square mile. You know, having seen these arrangements and, you know, having returned to Milwaukee and taking a look at the so-called Clear Channel bus stops, with all due respect to our Clear Channel representative, I want them out. I mean, they're doing nothing. They're adding no value to this community whatsoever. I got a bus stop at 27th in Wisconsin with big splotches of stuff thrown against the glass. It's been there for weeks. The cleaning has broken down. There's no illumination anymore. There's no maps. There's no public service announcements. There's no public art. There's no nothing. It's not our call, but maybe at the city level, we can just change the ordinance at some point back to no privatization of bus stops, because it's just atrocious. When I see what's done on the public dime, with excellent signage, excellent maps, high-end technology. Now, granted, this is a central business district locations that are depicted here, and I'm sure out in the hinterlands they do not have quite as extensive facilities, but we don't have this anywhere. And, of course, Clear Channel was supposed to be the entity that was going to provide all these high-end bus stops in the high-usage areas in the central business district, and they're just ripping us off, pure and simple.
Can I address that?
Be my guest.
If somebody calls and complains about the condition of a bus shelter, we'll send the crew out within 24 hours. I'm not aware of any calls being made to 27th in Wisconsin. I'll look at it on the way back to the office, and if it's something that we need to clean up, we will.
I thought these were routinely cleaned. I thought there was a regular schedule for cleaning.
Well, the regular schedule might be once every 2 weeks, so if the problem occurs in that interval, it could be a couple of days or a week or so before we're made aware, before a cleaning crew comes out.
And I guess this contract is expiring shortly?
I'm not exactly sure when it expires in the next year.
Yeah, I think it's November
well,
of 2013.
Well, Richard, make a note of that. See what legislative changes the city has to make to basically expire their arrangement. It's be subject to any existing contract terms, but when that contract expires, I'm sick and tired of it, to be honest with you. This constant back and forth, And a classic corporate, we get this a lot at the city of Milwaukee, corporations come in, promise the moon, they're going to do all these great things to induce us to take some action or refrain from taking some action. We do that, and then nothing happens. The benefits don't arrive, the situation falls off, and everybody else, you know, basically laughs their way to the bank while the city's sitting there holding the bag. I mean, if we're going to have rotten bus shelters, at least they're going to be our own.
Well, let me address, I have to speak up here. I think we have very nice bus shelters. We have 120 shelters installed in the city of Milwaukee.
You haven't traveled around the country very often. I disagree.
Well, we disagree then. I think we have very nice state-of-the-art bus shelters. Maintenance is a problem, but it's also a problem for the county transit buses, county transit system shelters. Again, we respond to any requests for graffiti removal, dirtiness, that kind of stuff within 24 hours. I think our shelters do add value to the city of Milwaukee. I know there's a dispute about the electricity, the illumination, but I think the shelter in front of City Hall at Kilbourne and Water is a nicer bus shelter than the county transit system would put up, with all due deference to Sandy Kellner, the Milwaukee County Transit System. We also, by the 120 shelters we have up, we relieve the county from policing and maintaining at these 120 shelters, which is a cost savings to the county transit system. So I think our shelters are very nice. Maybe we needed a little better job on maintenance, but I think they're an asset to the community and should be preserved.
Well, I guess we'll disagree, and we'll see what the council wants to do about it. Because I go to all these other cities. I don't have to go far. Just go to Chicago. There's no advertising in Chicago bus shelters, and they're equal, if not superior, quality. And they're not even extensive. They're not even fancy ones. This, I mean, look at this. You can tell me your shelters are comparable to what exists in Portland?
But how much government money went into those shelters?
All I know is I'd rather have probably a lot of government money. But the point is, we're not getting the benefit from the privatization of these shelters. No advertising, well, little advertising, no signage, no maps, no route information, no illumination, and the maintenance is sketchy at best. Now you tell us we have to call in complaints to get the bus shelters maintained. That was not my understanding. I thought it was a routine cycle of cleaning and maintenance, and now we're told we have to do it on a complaint basis. If we're going to have substandard facilities, I just as soon have them under public control than under private control, because then I can have something to say about it, and I know who to call instead of having to deal with a private entity headquartered in Pewaukee to try to get some response, and the only accountability is for whatever the contract provides, rather than have it publicly controlled where I can at least contact somebody at either our public works or the county public works or the county transit system, and I know there's an elected official somewhere in the loop that I can contact, and there can be some accountability. And it's not just a contractual issue, and where the ultimate remedy is, well, sue us if you don't like it. Because that is the ultimate remedy for a privatized arrangement.
And I'll stand by that. Our shelters are very nice. They're an improvement over the county shelters. We maybe need to do a little better job policing, but I think our shelters are an asset. And I think if we went around this table, you would have an honest difference of opinion regarding that.
I guess we'll see. So let's find out what we have to do to put an end to this.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd be curious to see whether or not CMAQ funds could be used for some of the technology that, you know, you saw in those pictures, too, because, you know, from a visitor standpoint, even somebody that lives in the city, that knowing when the next bus is going to come and where it's going, that technology is really important. And I don't know
if it's even running.
Sandra, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period. Yeah. Running at all.
Yeah. I think, yes. I don't know, Sandra, is the does MCTS receive any CMAQ funds for any technology at shelters or anything else that you know of?
At this point in time, we do not have any CMAQ funds for the purpose that you're describing. However, we are moving in the direction with equipping our system to be real-time ready in order to make that information then available, you know, whether it's at transit locations, key, you know, key destination areas, or on the web or a smartphone type system. That is something that we're starting to put the pieces, the groundwork together on. In terms of funding it, we are looking at different funding sources. I don't know that that would necessarily be CMAQ fund, but there definitely are grants that we're looking at to be able to make those amenities available and kind of get caught up to what many other systems, you know, some of these other systems are obviously much further along than Milwaukee is when it comes to real-time information, amenities on shelters and what have you. So we're in the middle of an upgrade right now for our AVL system, our automated vehicle location system, which the technology we have today, the system we have in place today, is old and it's not real-time ready. However, as we are going through this upgrade, we will be able to make those connections, have it available. Obviously, the web is going to be easier for us in terms of infrastructure to make the next bus information available through you know, electronic devices. But we are also exploring the, you know, at least the scrolling system and what key locations we can make that available to.
I think it'd be extremely beneficial, mm-hmm, for the new riders, which generate continual riders, yeah, if it's done well. So I would certainly encourage any efforts that the city makes or MCTS makes.
You know, I might add, Portland has day pass capabilities. Surprisingly enough, Seattle does not have day pass capabilities, although they have a smart card system, which I ended up buying one. I mean, it's a $5 surcharge, and now I have one, but you can add value at will anytime you're there. I now have four smart cards from different systems across the United States. In any event, you know, the Portland system is extremely easy to use for a visitor. Seattle's not quite so, although they have real-time arrival at their bus shelters as well. I mean, the Seattle system is probably bigger, although that city is not that much bigger than Milwaukee. It's 606,000 people. Its density is about 7,300 per square mile, so it's slightly more dense, handful more in population. Metro area is about 1 million larger. But a heavy transit usage in Seattle,
yep,
heavy, including electric trolleybuses, lots of them, which was very interesting to see. I guess I'd known that, but I didn't remember it until I got there and said, oh, wow, look at all this overhead wire. And very busy, very high level of service, very frequent service, any event. You know, well, all right. You know, I guess it's a philosophical question. I mean, there's this attitude, it seems, in Milwaukee that, well, nobody's going to ever use transit, so why invest in these amenities? Why invest in these high-end features which basically cater to, you know, occasional users, middle-class users, discretionary users, people with cars, people with money? They're never going to use them no matter what you offer them. So why bother? Give them half-baked shelters. Give them no information. Give them no maps, because only the dependent are going to use it, and they know how to figure it out, and they'll get their maps. And it's like a caste system. But that's not true in every city, including cities our size. So I don't want to hear the argument about New York. Well, it's not New York. It's not Chicago. We don't have the density, the population. Portland has less people than the city of Milwaukee has and lower density than the city of Milwaukee has. Yet somehow they're able to get people excited enough in this, whether it's on the public level or their average citizen on the street, to buy into this. And yes, it is at public expense, a city that's smaller with less density. And the argument, well, there's just no money here. Well, there must be money. I don't think there's any much more money in Portland.
Alderman, I think the biggest difference, and you're absolutely right with what you're saying, the biggest difference is that these cities you're talking about, I believe, have dedicated funding source.
Well, believe it or
separate
not.
Separate from the property.
Portland has, there's no sales tax in the state of Oregon anywhere.
Right.
And they rely on a employee head tax, mm-hmm, to fund TriMet, which is basically not an income tax, but a tax per head, per employee.
It's employment tax, yeah.
They do have dedicated funding. That is correct. You're absolutely right.
And I think to really solve Milwaukee's problems, that's the way we have to go. And I know it's a hard sell.
But that is somewhat of a I mean, I agree with that as a general proposition, but that is somewhat of an excuse.
It is.
Because it's ultimately public money, one way or the other. We have mechanisms to raise public money. I mean, there are tools available presently. It's a choice of whether they're utilized or not. I mean, adding another tax, fine. That seems to be the conventional wisdom, and I don't disagree, and I've supported that over the years. But to say, well, we'll just have to wait till that happens. In the meantime, we'll do nothing. And things will just get worse and worse and worse and worse. And we're still waiting, still waiting for that dedicated funding to come along. And in the meantime, your system has deteriorated, your demand for the system, utilization of the system, the attractiveness of the system, and increasingly in the public mind is, well, what's the value in this? Why do we have a dedicated tax for something that has increasingly little value and little utility? Mm-hmm. Whatever. All right. Any other issues anybody wants to raise?
Mr. Chair, if I could just wanted to mention, there's a well, I'm a part of the Green Team. Green Team 2, I guess, is what it is. But it's basically the directive of that group is to kind of be providing as the steering committee of the development of the city's sustainability plan. And while in the past, the sustainability plan really focused on the water quality and water issues, this one's going to be a little bit broader scope, and my hope is to have a fairly substantial transportation component a part of that sustainability plan, and kind of in the beginning stages of determining, you know, how we're going to reach out to the public and get comment and input from the public in there. So we're pretty well in the early stages of it, but it's something that I think this group would be interested in as that further develops, and I certainly can report on that as time goes by.
Sounds good.
Mr. Chair, I'd gotten a call of concern from that I'd welcome a response from our taxi providers that at Miller Park, apparently the taxi stand has been moved a significant way from any of the prominent entrances to the park itself, causing some difficulty, certainly for passengers who have disabilities who elect to use taxi service in and out of the stadium. I'm wondering if that's been a concern that the taxi folks have noticed at all.
First I've heard of that. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. No, we have not heard that. It would be interesting to get the facts on that, and then somebody could maybe do a little press release. I mean, would Independence First be willing to step up and do something like that, or some other entity, because any opportunity to give a shot to those people would be something I'm interested in doing.
Yeah, it might be interesting to find out, first of all, to verify the facts, if that in fact is true, and then maybe
I agree.
To approach the folks at Miller Park to indicate the concern and see if they care to resolve it or if additional attention be warranted.
No, I've not heard any I've not had any communication from the taxi cab people.
I believe it has. I've heard too. It's also been moved too. So I think the information Mr. Natsky is presenting is accurate. That I've heard that the cab pickup and drop off point has been changed. I haven't been there to see how much farther it is. So it would be helpful to make sure we've got the facts before moving forward. But you know, it's a concern and probably a concern just in terms of. They probably have some concern in terms of the number of vehicles that are getting in and out of there, including all the shuttle buses from the bars on Blue Mound Road, which are just cycling in and out of there. So I don't know whether they've needed to shift the cabs as a result of that or if there's other reasons, but it would be certainly interesting to do that if the chair wanted a couple of us to do a little research on.
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Sure. Put that on for the next agenda, please. We'll get a report on conditions at Miller Park. As far as, yes?
Tonight would be an excellent night to go monitor it with
well,
the Cubs game.
Well, be my guest. I count me out, but that's fine.
Suggesting a field trip for the
community? Yeah, I know what it's like at Moe's with those buses.
All right, anything else?
Is there any update in terms of the litigation with respect to the individuals who are trying to open the taxi cab ordinance? Anything, any progress?
I have no new information. My suspicion is the case is just in a discovery state, so people are conducting their discussion. So I don't think there's any imminent deadlines pending or any decisions expected anytime in the near future. Are you aware of anything?
No, it is in the discovery phase. We've been asked to provide a whole lot of background information from 20 and 30 years ago. I think it will take some time before that case moves forward.
Right. Okay, anybody want to add any topics for next meeting? Do we have a date, I believe, which would be, what's that?
June 8th.
Very good. We got that in there, June 8th. If there being no other further business, we're adjourned.